Nerdrotic.com.
Welcome back to Nerdrotic. My name is Gary Beekler, and I come to you from Nerdrotic.com. And instead of doing my regular scene breakdown of the Orville this week, I wanted to do something a little different. It's halfway through the season, and it's good time to revisit the Rotten Tomatoes score, because it is a lot different from season one. Now, I have done a video on this about a month ago, and it is our most viewed video, over 400,000 views, thank you very much. And at the time, the critic score for season one was at 26%. Currently, the critic score for season two is at 100%. What a difference a season makes. There's two ways to look at this, glass half empty or glass half full. And I'm going to look at both of them. Let's start with the glass half full. Maybe the critics have looked deep in their soul and seen the error of their ways. Maybe Mr. Critic looked at himself in the mirror and went, oh, damn. I'm a shill. I sold out my customers, my friends, the people I'm supposed to provide information to for a 480p DVD screener. Worse yet, limited access to a digital screener. Worse yet, access to a Z-list celebrity who forgot who I was 3 minutes after the interview. So maybe they've seen the error of their ways. Possibly. I doubt it, though. The glass half-empty side. Disney bought Fox. I think that's probably the answer. Unfortunately. Now, there's only 11 critic reviews in for season two, but we are halfway through, like I've said before, and I think it's a good time to go check and see what people think of it. I've already seen some critics who previously criticized the Orville turn it around, and they've admitted that, and all credit to them for that. 100%. I still doubt your motivation, but whatever, as long as you get there. But going from 26% to 100%, and I'll tell you right now, season one so far is better than season two. I love season two, but season one was better. Now up front, we have Liz Shannon Miller from IndieWire, and this has been pointed out before. She definitely changed her mind. The Orville season two premiere review, Jaloja, might be the show at its best. It's all character stories in the Fox Space Adventure series return, and that's a good thing. Funny she says that, because it is my opinion that Jaloja is one of the worst episodes of the Orville, and it's still pretty good. Yeah, I still give it a 7 out of 10, but it wasn't at its best at all. But this is what she said about season one. And this is her headline. The Orville review. Seth MacFarlane's Star Trek ripoff is creatively, morally, and ethically bankrupt. Doesn't matter how much MacFarlane steals or spends, this show still feels cheap. Wow. What a difference a year makes. Does this have anything to do with Disney buying Fox? Then we have Kevin Yeoman from Screen Rant. The show might have stood a better chance with a different actor in the captain's chair. What? One better suited to navigating the inexplicable tonal shifts and maybe earns the audience patience and empathy in the process. I'm going to go to his full review. Going to give him a bit of a chance here. The Orville series premiere is a laden Star Trek imitation. The Orville, the new series from Seth MacFarlane, promises more aspirational sci-fi, but delivers a bland version of Star Trek fan fiction instead. Let's see what a difference a year makes. Kevin Yeoman, Screen Rant. If the season two premiere of The Orville is any indication, the show has found its footing and maybe its identity in telling smaller, more character-driven stories that better serve its sometimes confounding mix of sincerity and irreverence. Full review. Headline, The Orville Season 2 Review, a focus on relationships, drives an uneven premiere. Now, I agree with them with that, but such a shift from Season 1 to Season 2 when the premiere of Season 2 was the worst Orville episode. And then we get to our boy Nick Wanzerski from Audio Video Club, where he doesn't have a review yet for Season 2 on Rotten Tomatoes. But this is what he said about Season 1. Ultimately, the most damning thing you can say about the Orville is that there isn't much to say about the Orville. Well, that's kind of funny. If you go to the Audio Video Club website and you look up his name as it pertains to the Orville, seems to be an awful lot to talk about. Let's take a look at one of these articles. Well, look at this. The Orville begins its second season with a strong, low-stakes, character-focused episode. In the end, a contrite Ed makes peace with Cassius and Kelly. Gordon completely fails to ask out the new officer, and everyone is able to attend Bordas' special day, Jaloja. Is a promising start to the new season. The humor is more integrated into the interactions between the characters, and the show has a more natural flow because of it. No pee joke intended. The Orville season one is currently at 31%. Not sure how that rose, but it did. But if you go to the top critics score, it is at 11%. But if you look to the right there, you see the audience score at 94%. You go over to season two, you see the top critics. Now there's only two, but it's still at 100%. This will probably change and we will revisit it at the end of the season. But look at that audience score. It's only down 1% from last season. It comes as no surprise, it's largely the media and the critics that question the audience score, something I used to do myself until I started actually reading the audience reviews. And like I've just showed you, there's more and more evidence that the audience reviews are the ones to be trusted, and I think the general populace, the ones that read this, are feeling the same way. Like when you read something like this from Brendan V, 5-star review from season 1. The critics were wildly wrong about this, the first season of The Orville. This show stands on its own, but it is also a show that is clearly created and produced by people who understand and love what made the Star Trek of old, TOS, retroactively speaking, so damned entertaining and rewatchable. The optimistic future situation of humankind. The humor, a little more pronounced, the strange cosmic phenomenon, the ethical questions, the probes into human nature, the episodic format, the underlying sense of joy and being out in the reaches of space on an exploratory mission, the way the show is earnest and or committed to its premise, but never overly self-serious. All the things that made the original series such a peculiar gem of a show are here. The Orville does an outstanding job of being a sort of parallel track spiritual successor, and the production is beautiful. It's more than an imitation. It's top-notch fan service that fully appreciates what it's doing and why. 5 stars easy. Peter M., 5-star review for Orville Season 2. Love the first series, and this is taking it to a new level. Playing Billy Joe, always a woman, at the end of Nothing Left on Earth Excepting Fishes, to me was totally a stroke of genius. An episode with unexpected plot twist. These days, 90% of TV is so by the numbers, and let's have everyone do something out of character and stupid to subvert things. Well written, well acted, with characters you like and draw you in. Want at least 5 more seasons, please. So have the critics seen the light and changed their ways, or have they gone full shill? Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I think you cannot deny that the Disney Fox sale made a huge impression on everybody. I ask again, how in the hell do you go from 31% for season 1 to 100% for season 2 when season 2 isn't that much better? It's not 69% better. After this, I hope you look at other audience scores in a new light, like for Doctor Who and for Star Trek Discovery. My God, if you look at the Doctor Who top critics, it's at 90%. And as I've said before, I fully expect for some critics to actually like the show, but I think most scores should hover between 40 and 60%. At least back in the old days they used to, when critics had credibility, but they no longer do. And it's out of their control. I almost have sympathy for them, as there's fewer and fewer media companies out there. Of course, Disney and CBS and the Beeb over in the UK are going to assert their power, and these people who are writing these articles know that, and that is always in the back of their mind as they write this stuff. They're checking themselves, and that's the beauty of YouTube. We don't have to do that. We are not in that position, and that's why our channels are growing at an incredible rate, especially in the last couple months. Look at That Star Wars Girl. Look at Geeks and Gamers. Look at World Class Bullshitters and Comic Artist Pro Secrets. Look at the growth of those channels. Look at my channel. It's been incredible, and I'm greatly appreciative for it. We get the word toxic thrown at us quite a bit. I got it thrown at me again on my live stream today. Is it toxic to criticize a TV show? Well then, let me present you again with all of these Rotten Tomatoes scores from season 1 for The Orville. Would you consider this toxic? No, I don't. That is critics doing their job. The problem is, I've never seen this many critics and this much agreement over something that's not made by Michael Bay or Uwe Boll. I think you can also attribute the growth on YouTube to what's being reported on. Now, none of us are really reporters, we're just people in a room on a microphone, but sometimes people reach out to us, and sometimes we actually do get legitimate sources, we have to check them out, but we report it as rumor. But one thing that's not rumor is the Anas Abdin lawsuit. That's a fact. That is happening. He created a game called Tardigrades that might have been plagiarized by Star Trek Discovery. That is a real lawsuit. Link will be in the description. Speaking of connecting with your audience, that is another thing the Orville does extremely well inside the show and outside on social media and on press junkets. You don't hear any drama with this show. This last episode was particularly good. It was called Deflectors, and it was basically a remake of Let This Be Your Last Battlefield, done through the Mauchlin culture, a culture that is all male. And in the show, a character named Lokar falls in love with a character named Tala in the Mauchlin culture, which of course is all male. It is considered heresy to fall in love with a female of any species. A very well-told morality tale, something Star Trek and Doctor Who used to do so well. You know, part of the problem in Hollywood is shows are being made for critics, and critics are writing for corporations, and what's getting forgotten is the fan. Maybe if these critics start connecting with their fans again, they will start getting more clicks, more views, and that is better job security than living in fear of Disney, CBS, or the BBC. The best way to lose your job or your franchise is to keep attacking fans, so I would suggest you pump the brakes on that. Well, that's it for now. Please watch The Orville. It's a great show. If you like what you heard, please like, share, and subscribe. Please go to nerdrotic.com for my live streaming schedule. We cover The Orville live right after it airs every Thursday right here with my co-host Susan Layton from 1428elm.com. Take care, have a great day, and may the small folks sing songs of your greatness.
Nerdrotic.com. Please subscribe.